about jumping up anymore, but since he let me know what time I needed to do that, I did it. Roger, I appreciate him putting together the thoughts and also preparing some things and asking me to preach on this subject matter. The time is now. When we're talking about time, it really doesn't matter. We had 168 hours last week. They're gone. We're not going to get them back. We're not going to get not one second of that back. It's gone. And so I would encourage everyone in this audience, if you're not a Christian, to seriously think about your condition right now. You don't wait till the end of the lesson. If you have any needs, raise your hand. We would be glad to take care of them right now because the time is now. There's no waiting for tomorrow. The problem is you've seen this at maybe playing a game or doing something and it says your time is up. Gundam was talking about two funerals recently and another funeral he's going to have to go to, and Bill's friend, there will be a funeral for that, Bill and Kim's friend. And when we think about that, the time is up. There it will be no more time for those people. But we can look at that and not be concerned at all, or we can look at that and say to ourselves, we need to think about our own lives, because when Roger started this talking about time, I thought about the lesson from last week about being properly prepared. And one of the things is we only have X amount of time to be properly prepared for the end of our lives. I think these are good follow-up lessons. We need to know how to prepare, because we've got to understand how to deal with the various situations in life. Roger had written about something about sports teams and thinking about how they have to prepare for an upcoming game. They know they only have X amount of time for that next game, and they have to think about that opponent and who that opponent is and what they do and how they play their game so that they can prepare, just like we need to prepare and think about the opposition we have. And we better prepare for it. And Roger then throws three questions that we're going to talk about. If we don't know about the opposition, we will not know how to prepare properly, and because we won't make it through this life in a good way. Jesus always knew how to answer the opposition. He never had a problem about it. We're going to talk about those things in this lesson. Recently studied Esther in the adult class, and Mordecai asked this question from Esther 4:14. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Her time was then and right then. And if she didn't make the proper decision, then someone else, he said, would have to take that place. And she might end up losing her life because she would not make the proper decision. Romans 13:11 through 14 says this, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And that's always the case. We're getting closer and closer and closer to the end, not to the beginning. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. How much provision? None. 168 hours last week. How much time did I spend preparing to leave this life? And how much time did I spend making provisions for the flesh, more concerned about my flesh than I was about my spiritual well-being? The truth of the matter is, think about your own life. We talk about how important this is. 168 hours. How much time did you spend? And you spent it. It's gone. You won't be able to ever make that back. And how much of it was spent in preparing for the future? The first question he posed was, what actions do we take in a corrupt world? Noah prayed in his prayer earlier, and then Brad prayed in his, about a time where the world is corrupt, but yet we have things that we can use, that we can know how to do things in this corrupt world. Let me give you some examples of that. How about a Noah? Every intent of thought was only evil continued, according to Galatians 6:5 of everyone. How about Esther and Mordecai? The enemies want to destroy, kill, and annihilate the Jews, Esther 3:13. How about Elijah? He felt that he was the only one left in 1 Kings 19:10. The time is now for each one of these people at their time. Each one of them thought, this is it. the apostles. In Acts 4:18 and 5:40, they were commanded to not teach about Jesus. They were threatened and they were beaten. So what did they do? What actions did they take? Well, let me tell you. Noah started out being a just man before he built the ark. And then he built the ark exactly to God's specifications. He didn't just do that. The Bible says he taught others. He was a preacher of righteousness, according to 2 Peter 2:5. What did he do in a corrupt world? He used his time wisely. He knew the time was now. It had to be done now. He didn't start the building of that ark saying, "Well, wait, God, let me talk to you a little bit about this. Now, exactly when's this time of the flood? So that when that happens, I can start preparing the ark." That's foolishness. You know when he started preparing the ark? When God told him to immediately. That's what we do. We don't wait. You want to wait on your salvation? You want to face God and say, "I didn't do too well in this corrupt world." How about Esther and Mordecai? What did she say? Well, she said, "Tell everyone to fast for 3 days." Let's think about this. What do you do in a corrupt world? What are they doing? How about Elijah? Well, Elijah fled. He was scared. He had killed the prophets of Baal and Asherah. And Jezebel says, "I'm going to kill you. You do whatever it takes to kill that man." He got scared and he left. Faithful man. He was gone. Well, the Lord told him, he said, "There's 7,000 of them still following me." Gave him an assistant, Elisha. And you know what Elijah did? He went back. His time was to do what he needed to do right then and there in that corrupt world. How about the apostles? They said in Acts 4:20, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." 168 hours last week. How much of it did we speak? Acts 5:29, "We ought to obey God rather than man." When? The time is now. Today, make it your day of salvation. Today, understand and know what you need to do. So what actions do we take? Well, we take the same ones. Just like them, we search out God's Word and we do it. We depend on the providence of God. Think about this for a moment. Think about the things that Brad said in his prayer. Think about providence that we recently discussed in Esther. Think about how God's providence works. The Ethiopian was traveling. Philip was sent down there. The providence of God. The right man for the right purpose. But what if Philip didn't go? God will do His part in His time exactly the way He's said He'll do it. We have to depend on His providence, just like Esther depended and Mordecai depended on His providence. And then we lean on others, just like Elijah leaned on Elisha. There are times when we need the help of others. It's hard. It's difficult sometimes. We need the strength of others. We need to make sure that we're spending our 168 hours, if we have that, this week properly. And then what do? Just like the apostles, we stand up and we defend the Word of God, for we ought to obey God rather than man. We have no right to be wimpy about what we believe. We stand for it in this corrupt world and we do not let it take us down. Second question, how do we remain unspotted from the world? Here we are living in a corrupt world. How did Jesus do that? How did the apostles do that in that corrupt world they lived in? How did Noah do that in that corrupt world that he lived in where everyone around him was sinful? How did he do it? He only had time, and he had a lot of it on his hands, it turns out. He lived for a long time compared to how long we live. But he had to make every moment count. James 1:27. "Pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." How do we keep ourselves unspotted from the world? Well, he tells us in that, "Do the things that I've told you to do, Abe. You take care of widows and orphans, and then you keep your life sinless." That's what he wants. He set the proper standard. How do I do that? I do it today. I do it right now. I work on that right now, the time that I have. I can't go back. I can't make up. I can't do anything about the way I've lived to this moment, but I can do something about this moment. I can make sure that I live it the way He wants. And He tells us in James 1, verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." how do I keep myself from being unspotted from the world? Well, I'm going to take my 168 hours last week, and I'm going to tell you I spent absolutely zero studying God's Word. I spent absolutely zero of my life last week. This most important book, meditating on God's Word, and I'm telling you how important it is to me. You want to keep yourself unspotted from the world right now. As I am preaching this, you start thinking about God's Word. That's what will get us from here to there. That's the time we have, and it's very important. We need to redeem the time, for the days are evil. We need to honestly evaluate ourselves. How can I do that? Well, I can just consider myself better than others. I can think of myself as being, oh, Abe, is that perfect person? Absolutely not. I need to look into the mirror of the soul. I need to look into that reflection that God already wrote about me long before I was born. I need to look in there and see who I am. For anyone to hear the word, not a doer, he's like a man observing his face in a mirror. He immediately forgets because he observes himself and then he goes away. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's what time's all about. That's why God gave it to me. Not for me to spend it on my own pleasures and thinking about how I can waste it away, but thinking about how I can properly evaluate it and use it. I'm putting aside all sin. Oh, just some of them. I'm a pretty good person. I don't do all of those things. Well, yeah. Maybe I don't do all of those things, but there are things I'm not doing. And that's as much sin. But let me tell you what he says here. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Have you done that today? Have you let God plant that word in your heart? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Are you willing to make a change in your life and become His child today? The time is now. As we found out this last week, 5 men of various ages got shot and killed. It took a little while for the one to die. They didn't go in that day thinking, wow, there's going to be this gunman, because of his bad religious beliefs, going to come and shoot us today. Who would have thought that? If we look like the world, if we dress like the world, if we talk like the world, and if we act like the world, how can we say we're not the world? It's all the thing about the duck, you know. If you have all of the characteristics of the world, and then you're going to tell me, well, I'm that kind of person, you know, I know. And don't tell God that either. If I live that way, do not love the world, the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is in not any. For all that is in the world, all that's in the world, is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those didn't come from the Father. Those came from the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of the Father abides forever. So, all of a sudden, we went from time to abiding forever. What a beautiful thought that I don't have to concern myself when time is over, because it's not over in the sense that life goes on. It's just that time quit. How do I remain unspotted from the world? By giving book, chapter, and verse. And I know some of you are sitting back there. There was no book, chapter, and verse. I know that. But we have book, chapter, and verse because men did break it down that way. So we do have book, chapter, and verse for what we believe. Acts 17:11, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they searched the word daily to see if those things were so. As these apostles and others were preaching it, they went back to the Old Testament. They looked to see if it matched up with what had previously been taught in the Old. And they found that it did. There was book, chapter, and verse. And by constantly asking God's forgiveness, that's the way I keep myself unspotted from the world, and I need help from the evil one. Oh, temptation is so strong. I don't care what age you are. I don't care who you are. Temptation will always be there. In Matthew 6, in the prayer. He talks about this, Jesus did, in teaching them how to pray. One of the things he said was, forgive us our debts as we forgive others. In other words, as I'm willing to forgive others, if they come to me, please forgive me, Father. Do not lead us into temptation, but keep us from the evil one. Or deliver us from the evil one. The battle belongs to the Lord, as we just sang. I need His help. I need His constant help in my life. I don't know how He does it through His providence, but He will always help me anytime that I am weak. I am so thankful that I have others that can help me overcome sin. And certainly, I need to do this and to never become self-righteous. When I think of being self-righteous, it'll get me in trouble every time. Because I am no different than the world. I'm thinking I'm doing it on my own. My dad used to have this saying, it's like you're pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. Now that, Roger will have to explain that on the way home. There aren't probably not a lot of boots with bootstraps on them anymore, but there used to be a method of pulling your boots up, and you cannot, as he said, do that. And one of the things that happened to the Pharisees, they started thinking they could. And in Matthew 5, verse 20, he said, except your righteousness exceed that of the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Basically, you're no different than the world when you think you're doing it on your own and you think you know what to do. And by watching the company we keep. It is so important. If I want to remain unspotted in the world, I am going to have to be out in the world. I am going to be trying to teach people of the world. But I'll tell you what, I do not need to be with the evil of the world in so doing. And it'll get me in trouble every time if I have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. This is a warning to young people. It's a warning to old people. It's a warning to middle-aged people. It's a warning. You start running around, I'm going to quote my dad. You start running around he said every time a dog that would go into the hen house and start breaking the eggs and sucking the yolk out, every time that other dogs started running around with them, they started doing the same thing. It is just one thing that gets us in trouble, and it'll certainly get us in trouble. Even the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, were influenced for evil about the resurrection. There were those who were teaching there was no resurrection. And he says, evil company corrupts good morals or manners. And that principle is always true. And if we think that we can continually just run around and do the things with the people of the world and involve ourselves in all the evil that they do and we'll be okay, it will not work. Last question. What did God in Christ require of us? Exactly the same thing that He required of the children of Israel back in Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of His ways, and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes which I command you today for your good. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that's in it. It's His. He has the right to require things of us if we expect salvation when this life is over. That's quite a laundry list. So what am I doing with my time? What am I doing with my time right now? I would argue that each one of us in this room hopefully came together to do what God wanted us to do in the time that we have. Think about this for a moment. What does He require? Fear Him. Have a tremendous reverence for Him. Walk in His ways. Love Him. Serve Him. How much? With all your heart and all your soul. And to keep the commandments. Now, if He required that of that law that would not bring them complete forgiveness when they sinned, if He required that of them, do you think He will of us? In Micah 6, verse 8, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So it's not just our relationship with Him. It's also our relationship with other people. We need to walk in such a way that we treat others well, and we do justly toward them, we love mercy, and we walk humbly. The first and foremost thing that every one of us in this room needs to do in the time that we have is what we've done today. We need to follow Christ. Christ said you need to be there. Christ, as was said in John 1:29, He was the Lamb of God, as John the Baptizer said, that takes away the sins of the world. He said about Himself in John 6:33, He is the bread of life. Who else would I want to follow? In John 8:12, He is the light. And I could have gone on and on in this. Of course, He's the way, the truth, and righteousness. But when it comes down to it, you're looking for light. We always talk about another thing of ours, looking for light at the end of the tunnel. In the time that we have, we need to find that light. We need to follow that light, and we need to follow it from here to eternity. He is the light. We need to follow Him if we expect to get there. And is it difficult? Well, in Matthew 16:24, He said, absolutely it is. He said, you need to take up your cross and follow Me. Meaning, even if I might have to go through some things, even to my death, I follow Him. Because what did He do? He set the perfect example of one who was willing to sacrifice everything he had in this life for us. He gave up His life for us. He said in John 15:20, I can tell you, if you're really expecting life to just be a bowl of cherries, as it were, don't expect that. He said, if they'll do these things to Me, don't you know that they will do them to you as well? That there will be no difference, because a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted Me, they will also persecute you. If they kept My word, they will keep yours also. Talking to His apostles. And knowing that we need to redeem or buy out the time, how can that be when it's not even mine? In the sense that I can't even get one day for myself except God gives it to me. But He gives it to me to spend the way I see fit. And I have to think every moment, am I spending this wisely? Did I spend my time, my 168 hours last week in a proper way? Am I doing what I need to do right now for my salvation? See, then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And that brings us back to what we need to be doing. If we're properly redeeming our time, if we're properly doing that, we will understand what the will of the Lord is, and we will use it properly. But that's not enough. What did God in Christ require of us? That in my time, I need to use that time teaching others. In Ephesians 4, He talks about how He had set up all of this and how He had done it in exactly the way He wanted to do it. And He talks about He had gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of the Christ. Because He wanted them to come to the unity of the faith. And so now we have this complete written word. And so we should know that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I have a responsibility. A responsibility to both my fellow Christians, and I have a responsibility to those that are not Christians. I have a responsibility to teach. And so, I need to bring others to Him. But I need to do it with humility. Not with arrogance, not with I know everything, but showing them what the Word of the Lord teaches. In 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. Those are all virtues I need to be working on all the time. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. It's a responsibility. We need to be talking to others. That's what's required of us, that in our time, right now, We need to use that time properly. If we care about our salvation, if we know what we have, why wouldn't we want others to have it as well so they would be prepared to leave this life? Even if it takes withstanding someone to the face. In Galatians 2:11, we find that Peter was certainly not acting as he should have toward the Gentiles. And here's Paul saying to him, you cannot do that. You need to make that right. We have to let people know when they're sinning if we care about them. We have to talk to them if we care about them. And with that said, we can never compromise. Never. It's interesting in Galatians 2, when they went up to Jerusalem, and it's recorded in Acts 15, and they're there talking about circumcision. And they have all these Judaizing teachers there, and these Judaizing teachers are talking about a false doctrine. They're wanting Gentiles to be circumcised for their salvation. And you know what Paul said? We did not even allow them to speak. We need to be very careful in what we're allowing others to do. We need to be very careful when we allow sin to enter a local congregation or in our lives. We need to be very careful. We need to not give false doctrine one moment of time. It's dangerous, and it'll damage and destroy any congregation. See, I know Christians who are compromising now. I know Christians who are compromising about drugs. Well, if it's legal, I mean, should be okay to use it, and I don't really see any problem with it. And Abe, what's wrong with you? Alcohol. Oh, social drinking. I mean, it's good. It's good. There's no problem with that whatsoever. Abe, what's wrong with you? Just a little bit. Fornication. Oh, anything from heterosexuals living together to now just approving of homosexuality. And I'm hearing Christians go, now wait, we don't want to offend anyone. It's confusing to me. Why are we compromising? What happened to us? Marriage situations where there is no right for the person to get married again, and we're just, it's okay. No problem anymore. Fifth, sixth, seventh marriages, it's all right. No problem. Immodest clothing. It's hard to go places anymore, but it's even more difficult when Christians are dressed immodestly. And then false doctrine and the acceptance of those who practice it as if it's no problem whatsoever. What happened to us? What happened to us? It's like we studied last week, it's a battle. And we must prepare. Just like Noah could not wait till the flood came and said, oops, maybe I should have built an ark. And I'm not making fun of that, I'm just saying that will not work. And it took him a long time to build it. When the battle starts, I got to tell you something. When people in this physical world have nothing to defend themselves with, it's the, not, I know not making fun, but it's, you know, don't bring a knife to a gunfight sort of a thing. It won't work. When we look at this and we think about it, we better understand what the weapon is that we have. It is all powerful. It will do anything. And all of a sudden, now the battle has started. And I'm looking around for my weapon because I don't know it. I don't have it. I don't even know what it says. I'm not prepared. I'm going to lose that battle. I can tell you right now because Satan is powerful. In addition to knowing the weapon, I've got to know the battle plan, as I talked about last week, and execute it well if I expect to be saved when this life is over. I'm going to tell you something. I can't wait. I can't wait. And I'm getting closer to the end than most people in this room, and I can't wait. The time's now. From the time I started, and I'll blame somebody for that should have been on over quite a bit, but from the time I started to when you look back there now, it's gone. It's gone. Did we spend it well? I hope that the things I presented were well, that it is good for you, because I never want to waste your time. Are you a Christian? Well, we've ended it. No one raised their hand. Are you a Christian who needs to change your life or would like the prayers of the saints. Well, we do this as a tradition to help anyone, to encourage you, to make you think. We're going to sing a song. If you have any needs, we'd be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?